Thank you, Kenny. You take your Bible and turn with me to Galatians. It's going to be the last in the series that I've been sharing with you on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. And I want to talk about the point of pride in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Paul wrote this, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." When I think about the sin of pride, I think about the man who was in the army that got promoted to be a colonel. He was very proud of that in a sinful way. First day he was in his office, somebody knocked on his door. And when the knock came, the man said, "This is Private Johnson. May I see you, sir?" And so the colonel reached over and picked his phone up and said, "Yes, Mr. President. I understand, Mr. President. We'll take care of that, Mr. President." And so he said, "Mr. President, could you just hold a moment?" And so he put the phone to the side and he said, "Private, enter and state your business." He said, "I'm busy right now." He said, "The president's on the phone." And he said, "Mr. President, hold, I'm still with the private here." He said, "State your business." And the private said, "Sir, I'm here to hook up your phone today." And God has a way of making us look real foolish when we express pride. Pride is one of the seven deadly sins in the Bible, and one of the things that God says he hates. I find this interesting that Paul, the apostle, tells us the one thing he's proud of, and the only thing he bragged about in life, is right here. Now you think about Paul. He was probably the greatest preacher of his time, one of the greatest missionaries who ever lived, one of the greatest theologians. And when you look at the New Testament, you'll find that he wrote almost one half of the New Testament inspired by the Holy Spirit. And he says, "There's only one thing that causes my heart to swell with pride." The New Living Translation says, "As for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." 2,000 years ago, about the only person in the world who would brag about the cross would be Paul. When you look at the cultures and the societies of the day, they had different ideas about the cross. When you look at the Romans, the cross was seen as despicable. Cicero said this, "Even the mere word cross must remain far not only from our lips of the citizens of Rome, but also from their thoughts, their eyes, and their ears." The Jews, to them, the crucifixion was the same as hanging someone. And if you remember in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 21:23, anyone who is hung on a tree is under God's curse. In the Greek culture, to them, the cross was just foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:23, "But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Gentiles foolishness." Some things never change, but our churches, many are moving the message around. Some churches teach that our greatest need is encouragement. Other churches say that we are ignorant people and the greatest need is education. You see, some churches say our biggest man's biggest problem is poverty, and the answer to it is welfare. Another church says that man's problem is the environment, and what he needs is equal opportunity. The man who came to see me not long ago, I had lunch, business lunch with him, and he was looking for a church here in town. He said, "We went to Sunday school, and we couldn't believe what we were hearing. They were doing a series on global warming." He said, "There's no scripture involved, but the whole thing was about global warming." And he said, "We realized quickly that we were probably in the wrong place." God says the greatest problem in mankind is sin. So what he needs is salvation through the cross. And that's one thing that we ought to be proud of, the one and only, as followers of Christ, is the Christ of the cross. First of all, I want you to look here, proud of Christ who died on the cross. He says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Now, look at this. It's not the cross that makes it so special. It's Jesus Christ that made it so special. Paul was not proud of a cross. He was proud of the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross. Back in the early 20th century, there was a Christian who was a great scientist, and his name was Harry Reimer. He was teaching on a college campus one day, and he was talking about crucifixion. And he was talking about Jesus. And one of the college students raised his hand and identified himself as a Jew. And he asked this question: what did Jesus Christ do that no one else ever did? And Dr. Reimer said, well, you've identified yourself as a Jew, and I assume that you know the history of your people. And you know that Titus, Pilate, and then many of the old Roman emperors crucified some 30,000 young Jews. And the Jewish student said, I didn't know how many, but I knew that those Roman emperors crucified several thousand. So Dr. Reimer said, now I'm going to name one of those Jews that was crucified on the cross. And he said, then I want you to name another one. So Dr. Reimer says, I name Jesus Christ. And he looked at the Jewish student and said, now I want you to name another one of those Jews that the Romans crucified. And he couldn't name one. And Dr. Reimer said, you mean there's another 29,999 Jews that were crucified by the Romans on the cross, and you can't remember any of those names, and I gave you the one, Jesus Christ. So the Jewish student looked at him and he said, what did Jesus do that nobody else did? And Dr. Reimer said, the reason why we can remember the name of Jesus above the other 29,999 is because Jesus Christ is the only one who died for our sins and was raised from the dead. It's not the cross that's so wonderful. You know, back in Roman times, crosses were a dime a dozen. That was their capital punishment. It is Christ on the cross that is so amazing. Notice how he phrases this, and I keep reading it over and over, and you think, well, Pastor, we've heard that. I know that. But notice he says, I glory only in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says Lord because Lord refers to the fact that he is God. He says Jesus, the Old Testament Joshua, he is the Savior. And then Christ, he's the anointed one, he is the Messiah. So we see here he died on the cross as a Jewish Savior, as a Gentile Savior, and a universal Savior, and the only way to avoid hell and go to heaven is by trusting in the Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. Notice he's proud of the cause accomplished on the cross. I'm just going to give you a couple of texts here. Acts 2:23 talks about the crucifixion of Jesus. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. That's the NIV. Let me give you another translation. God had some specific purposes in mind when he sent Jesus to that cross. The first thing I want you to write down is this, is that God with the cross of Jesus Christ was once and for all proving his love for the world. We just have so many tragedies that hit our nation. I cannot imagine how the people feel down in Florida. That high school was shot up. 17 students were killed. I can't even put myself in their position. We hear about terror attacks. We hear about plane crashes. And one thing you'll hear on television lots of times, well, where was God in all this? Why didn't God prevent this? Well, number one, he didn't make us puppets. Evil still exists in this world. But when people say, where was God in all this? They're looking in the wrong place. 1 John 4:10 says, this is real love. It is not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Doesn't matter what happens here on this earth, his love is still there. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us. And while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. I can put it to you this way. There's no other explanation for the cross of Jesus Christ except the love of God for you and me. Since God sent his son to die on that cross and rise again, God doesn't have to prove his love to anybody. On that cross, Jesus also satisfies God's law, which demands justice. In Ezekiel 18:20, the soul who sins shall die. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If the soul that sins has to die, and if every soul has sinned, that means that every soul has to die. Now, there are only two options. We die in our sin, or we die with our sins forgiven. Jesus died on the cross to pay a debt he didn't owe and a debt we couldn't pay. Now, the cross of Jesus Christ also makes real living possible. First of all, listen to the statements here. Jesus died that we might live through him. 1 John 4:9. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now look at 2 Corinthians 5:15. Jesus died that we might live for him. And he died for all. That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Notice this, Jesus died that we might live with him. 1 Thessalonians 5:10. Who died for us that whether we awake or sleep, we should live together with him. God had a specific purpose he wanted to accomplish on the cross of Jesus Christ, and he accomplished every one of those with that death. I was reading the other day about a little boy who told his mom he wanted to go to the store and run an errand for her, and she, little town was safe, so he ran the errand. He's gone a long time. Finally, a stranger, a gentleman, walked by and saw the boy just crying, crocodile tears. And he walked over and he said, what's wrong with you? He said, I can't find my way home. He said, what's your address? He said, I don't know. He said, what's your phone number for your parents? He said, I don't know. He said, is there any kind of landmark near your house? He said, there's some kind of cross that stands way up in the air on top of a building. The man said, I know where you're talking about. And he grabbed the little boy by the hand, walked several blocks. And when they got in front of this church with the cross, the little boy said, I know my way home. And he took off and made it home. Let me tell you something, folks. We used to sing that old song, the way of the cross, what? Leads home. Now think about this. Satan is the accuser. He comes to you and says, look, your needs are not going to be met. And all you got to do is quote Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Satan looks at you. You're a sinner saved by grace. He says, you're no good. I'm going to wreck your life. And we look at the Word of God, And the Bible says we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. The other thing I want you to write down is you're proud of the conquering power of the cross. In Waynesboro, Georgia, Southern Company is expanding the nuclear power plant. Stronger than nuclear power, stronger than the power of money, greater than political power, physical power, intellectual power, is the power that's found in the cross. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says we have three enemies. What are they? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, through the cross, we've got victory over the flesh. Let me give you a text, Galatians 5:24. Now, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Every day, we can nail those sinful desires to the cross. The cross gives us victory over the world. That's the world as it's organized against God. Listen to what Paul said in verse 14 of Galatians 6. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me. So when Jesus was crucified on that cross, God also made sure the world was crucified on that cross. I don't mean the physical world, I mean the moral world, the ethical world, the philosophical world. All the world has to offer that would drag us down and bring us down was crucified on the cross. Also the cross, we have victory over the devil. John 12:31. At this moment, the world is in crisis. Now Satan, the ruler of this world, will be thrown out. One thing the devil, every demon in hell cannot stand up to, and that's the cross of Jesus Christ. Notice one last thing that Paul went on to say in Galatians 14c. He said, I have been crucified to the world. Listen to me carefully. The crucifixion is one thing that cannot be self-inflicted. It has to be performed by somebody else on you. People try to take their lives, and they do with firearms. Several years ago, I received a call from a father, and I'd been trying to come alongside his son, who was about 25 years old. And Dad called me, and he said, look, my son is in his bedroom, and he's got his .38 laying right there on the bedside table. And he told his dad and mom, said, don't come in here. I'll blow my head off. He said, Pastor, we need your help. Now, you understand, I was a whole lot younger than I am now. I only notify next of kin now. I don't go in and get between guns and their parents. But I went in there, and I saw his parents. And I walked over to the bedroom door. I said, now, James, you and I have been talking a lot. And while we were talking, I just kept walking closer to him. I said, you say you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. I know you got problems with your marriage and a lot of other things. But I said, this is not the answer to your problem. And you're going to give an account for taking your own life. And while we're talking, I just walked over and picked up that .38 and backed up to the foot of the bed, finished talking to him. And I said, you know what? I said, James, you're a danger to yourself right now. And I had a friend at that time, a psychiatrist named Dr. Ken Jones. I called Dr. Jones in Augusta, and I said, listen, I got somebody that we need to admit through ER at University Hospital to the mental ward, and I need you to do an evaluation. He said, can you get him here right now? And I said, yes, I can do that. And I called one of my deacons, and I said, I want you to meet me at this particular house. And I said, I'm going to put this guy in the back seat of my car, and we're going to go down I-20, 45 miles to Augusta. I want you to sit next to him so that he doesn't jump out of the car when we're going down the interstate. His life was preserved. And I want you to tell you, that's a God thing. That wasn't me. People try to take their lives with guns. I had someone else, and Mark would know this person that I worked with for a long time on another part of the state. This young man had one of the finest mothers you've ever met in your whole life. She was a single mom. Her son got married, had a child. He and his wife were into drugs and alcohol. He was talented enough he could find a job when he needed it, just make enough money till the next fix or to the next alcohol problem. I worked and worked and worked with that couple. Never saw any fruit of the labor. Several years after I left that community, that young man was missing. He loved to hunt and fish. And probably about 20 miles from his house, deep in the woods, he had hung himself. And a hunter found him after he'd been missing about 3 days. People hang themselves. Some people drown themselves when they want to commit suicide. Other people will take poison. Others overdose on pills. But I want you to look at this. Nobody can take their own life on a cross. Somebody else has to nail your hands, your feet, and later on lunge that spear through your side. The cross is something we can brag about, because it's only when you go to the cross with all your faults and all your flaws and all your failures, you can nail them right there. Father was dying, brought his family into his side. That was the night of his death. He looked up, he said, "Good night, John. Good night, Helen. Good night, Butch. And goodbye, Ralph." Ralph said, "Now, wait a minute. You told my siblings good night, but you just told me goodbye. What's the difference?" Old Dad said, "Your siblings have trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord. I'm going to see them again. But unless you trust Jesus as Savior and Lord, it's goodbye. Ralph, I'll never see you." When we trust Christ as Savior and Lord, remember, He overcame Satan, hell, death, and the grave. We have that same overcoming power. I was just skimming through the Sunday paper today. I always like to read Cal Thomas's article. Today, he did a feature, an editorial on the life of Billy Graham. He said, "You know, I've interviewed lots of people in the United States and around the world," but he said, "I'll never forget my interview with Billy Graham." He said, "That was undoubtedly the most humble man I'd ever had a conversation with in my whole life." And he said, "I want you to know that he was offered an opportunity to enter the political arena. And he was also offered the opportunity to star in movies by Hollywood. But he said, I always sense that God wanted me to preach the gospel." Cal Thomas said, "How do you stand up in front of those thousands at those stadiums? How do you do that?" He said, "When I stand behind those pulpits, I feel so unworthy. And I'd rather be anywhere else in the world than right there." And he said, "I often wish there was a trap door in the floor that would just open and cause me to disappear. But I knew I had to get the gospel out." And then he asked him, "What do you think about heaven? What's heaven going to be for you? What are you going to do when you enter the gates?" Cal Thomas said, "Billy Graham said, I'm going to bow at the feet of Jesus and say, 'Forgive me.'" Cal Thomas said, I think that's already happened. And then he said, I hope to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You may be proud of your education. I have one pastor friend that said when he got his doctor's degree, he was so proud of it. He took it down. It was such a source of pride. He took it off the wall and stuck it on the floor underneath his desk so it wouldn't be a source of pride, a reminder to him every day. You can be proud of your education. Be proud of your home, your children, your grandchildren. Look what Paul said. I glory exclusively only in this one thing, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That'll make you humble. That'll make you a great, bright witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand right where you are, heads bowed and eyes are closed.